Dear Heavenly Father, on this weekend where we celebrate the anniversary of our country's independence, and we thank you for the blessing that America is for all of us who are here. The freedoms that we have, the ability to share your word without great fear, the ability to live in a nation that values freedom of speech. And Lord, those things were bought at a great price. Freedom, Lord, we know isn't free. We pray, Lord, that you would maintain your hand on this nation and keep us free. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What a joy it is to be able to wake up in the morning without fear. That's not true in many places in the world for our fellow believers, and even for people in other faiths. Many places in the world, anyone who believes in anything other than state wakes up in fear of their lives. And it's more than just the fear of your life. What a joy it is to have, as Paul tells Timothy, a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness. But that freedom comes with a price. How many people died in the Revolutionary War to free our nation from the tyranny of England? In the Civil War, to free the slaves. In the First and Second World War, to free us from other tyrants, especially from Hitler and the power in Japan. A total of 70 million people estimated died in everything involved with the Second World War. That's a lot of blood. And today, it seems, though we have some wars going on, the total death toll for us in those wars has been less than a fraction of the total death toll in just one day in Normandy in the Second World War. And the wars are sort of in the background. And here, we live at peace in this country. It was broken on 9/11, and for a while all the churches were full, but within a couple months everything was back to normal. And what we want now is free stuff. Free college tuition. Free health care. Free $1,000 a month of food. One of the candidates is promising in his campaign. Free forgiveness of all the college debts, free this, free that. And we know that even our salvation isn't free. It's free to us. But someone had to pay the price. And Jesus paid the price of our salvation with his blood. There's never a free lunch. Someone always pays for it. And usually the trade-off is this. You can either be free people, or you can have free stuff. Make your choice. And I prefer being a free person. I prefer living with my rights to life and liberty and the pursuit of that happiness which God has put in our hands. But again, it costs. Freedom is not cheap. And so we need to remember, the Bible talks a lot about our responsibilities as citizens in a nation on a sinful earth. The United States, or even back in Rome, back in those days, the responsibilities of us to build freedom are the same. See, the Pharisees and the Romans came to Christ and they brought him a coin and said, do you pay taxes? And Christ took the coin and he looked at it and he said, whose face is on the coin? And the coin had Caesar's face on the front of the coin. And he says, give Caesar that which is Caesar's. nations demand responsibility from those in those nations, or they fall apart. Caesar needs our taxes. Then and now. Now, sometimes he wastes them in absolutely terrible ways. But he needs our taxes. They build roads. They help with infrastructure. They do things for our defense. But then, Jesus says the more important thing, but give God those things which are God's. Now, what belongs to God? Everything, including Caesar, by the way. God lifts up Caesars and throws down Caesars, puts in presidents and takes them out. They belong to him. And so we need to understand, we can be patriotic, we can love America, we can work for America's good, but only if we realize that America first belongs to God. And if we're not serving God the way God needs us or wants us to serve him, we will not do America a bit of good. Now, one of the things that happens today is we talk about rights. We're all about rights. My right to speak, my right to choose, my right to privacy, my right to this, my right to the other. But rights actually are blessings, because what we deserve really is hell. It's great to have the rights, but the rights will die if we don't have our responsibilities met. And so Christ talks about those in his word. And Paul mentions in Romans chapter 13, and I want to turn there first. And I want to read a passage that I want you to remember as we read this passage. Who was in charge of Rome when Paul wrote this to the Romans? It was Nero, one of the worst emperors that history remembers, was there. You know, we call our sons Paul, we call our dogs Nero, and he was that kind of an emperor. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 13, he says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and all the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists," verse 2, "the ordinance of God, and he who resists will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to not be afraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on those who practice evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." And then he goes on and talks about taxes. We are to be subject, and here's the thing that we need to remember, because there are people today who are trying to destroy everything. Anarchists. And what Paul is basically saying here is that a country, even with Nero, is better off than a country where there is absolutely no government. Where everybody is just a mob doing what they want and smashing where they want, and everybody is just taking by force. We were thinking the other night that people are talking now. I remember when we had Y2K, and everybody's saying, well, the computers are all going to go out and everything's going to turn into a total disaster. And now they're talking about EMPs, you know, whether the Russians or the Chinese will detonate something over us that'll knock out all the electronics of all kinds, and we'll be back to Amish country, and none of us know how to, you know, how many of you really even know how to find a horse, let alone ride one? How many of you are ready to hitch a mule to the front of your Honda or your Toyota? And so they're saying in those situations, 95% of Americans would die within the first year. We just can't live without our power. And you know, people start hoarding food and preparing. And so, but Y2K is, I remember we got once in the living room of my mother-in-law's house, and we were all talking about what happens if Y2K. And it says, should we start prepping, and should we start getting all these huge, stockpiles of food and all this, you know? And I said, no, I don't believe it's going to happen. And I, it was turned out to be right. But even if it does, let's say you got a year's worth of food for each member of your family. And you stored it somewhere. And everybody else who wasn't prepared didn't. What do you think's going to happen when you still look healthy and everybody else's bones are showing? You better be ready to protect your food. You better have enough guns, because it's going to be like the zombie apocalypse. Everybody's going to come, and they're going to be storming your house for your year's worth of food. And you better have the bullets, and you better have the guns, and you better be ready to use them, and I hope you have enough to kill like 10,000 people who want your food. If there's anarchy, people die. Even Nero is better than that. God uses even bad kings to keep things in place. And so, we as Christians need to live within the system. We're never called as Christians to try and topple it. So we have certain responsibilities that the Bible talks about here. One, it says here's to obey the authorities, unless the authority goes against a specific rule of God. When the authorities pulled Peter in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 and said, we don't want you to preach the name of Christ anymore, he says, I've got to obey God rather than men. So if an authority tells you to do something that does not go against a command of God, it might be rough. Do it. Now sometimes, I remember hearing there was a city, and I don't remember where the city is. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find the event. But it was a few years ago. A city, I think it was in North Carolina, one of those places up there, put a rule against churches feeding the homeless in this park more than two times a year. And this church used to have a ministry all the time feeding the homeless. Every week they'd be there feeding the homeless. And so that's our ministry. And now the government's trying to tell me that I can't do it more than twice a year. Well, you know, should we disobey? Why? You know, I at the time I was thinking, you know, I'm sure there are more than, you know, 26 churches or 50 churches in that city. If they just got together and each of them fed the homeless twice a year, like they were doing it once a week, if they just get together, they could keep the rule and feed the homeless. Sometimes we're not creative enough. Sometimes we're not united enough. But the rule doesn't go against a specific command of God. We just got to be creative in how we do things sometimes. But we're to obey the authorities. That's the whole purpose of what God puts them there for. It's a responsibility of believers to keep, as much as is within the range of Scripture, the laws of the land. And that includes respect for the authorities. It saddens me when I see people disrespecting policemen, our military. These people who put their lives on the line. Are there bad policemen? Are there bad soldiers? Of course there are. But even a president or a congressman. You know, I there are some congressmen who just call to be made fun of. But you know, if I meet one, I'm going to respect them. I'm not going to laugh in their face. I'm going to treat them as their office deserves. Honor to whom honor is due. And here's the big one. Pay the taxes. Every April 15th, I look at that one. I say, why'd you put that in Scripture, God? How many of you just love pulling out your checkbook on April 15th? Or all year round, as you look at your check, you know, and Kevin just got a new job, and you know, he says, I'm going to be making so much a week. And then he sends in his little W-4, and they send him, they take the check, and there's this big old piece that's cut out of it. It's like someone bit the corner off and took a quarter of your check. But Paul says, pay the taxes. That's part of your benefits of being a Roman, Paul. Under Nero, it still is. So these, we all know these. But here's the biggest responsibility. Pray. Pray. Pray for your leaders. We read in 2 Timothy 2, and we'll be going through that passage tonight in depth. But it says to do a couple things for your leaders. It says, first of all, for all men, but including your leaders. It says, pray for them and give what? Thanks for them. Pray for those in authority over you and give thanks. Now remember again, Paul was under Nero when he wrote those letters to Timothy. In fact, in 2 Timothy, he was in prison. But Paul was writing under the worst emperor that the apostles knew. And these emperors, they were crazy. Have you ever thought about our calendar? How interesting it is. If you go back into it, we have September, October, November, December. Okay, and if you look at the Latin roots of those, sept is for what number? Seven. Oct is eight. Nov is nine. Des is 10. So why is the seventh month really the ninth month? September is the ninth month, right? October is the 10th month. What happened? Well, Caesar came along. Augustus Caesar came along. And he had a birthday in a certain month. And he decided he wanted a month named after him. So we've got what? August. So Julius Caesar comes along later. And they just moved the other months over one and took one off the end. Julius Caesar comes along later, and he wants his month too. Or maybe it's the other way around. Julius came first, he put July. Then Augustus Caesar comes along, he puts August. And the other months kept their names, 7, 8, 9, and 10, but now they were 9, 10, 11, and 12. This is what rulers can do. Your calendar gets all messed up because two kings wanted a whole month to honor their birthday. Pray for your leaders because they can want some really weird things. And some of them will affect you very badly. But God can turn the heart of a king. And God can take them out if he wants to also. And so these are responsibilities. In a nation, as we keep our priorities, these are the things we give Caesar. We give him obedience when he doesn't go against God's law. We give him respect. We pay our taxes and we pray for our leaders. And I've seen a lot of people who, in the last election, didn't like Obama. But I always asked him, I said, well, you're criticizing him. Do you pray for him? Well, yeah, I pray for him. Do you give thanks for him? No, I'm going to give thanks for him. And I say the same thing about Trump now. Do you pray for him? Do you give thanks for him? Oh, yeah. You know, and some of them are really hard. You know, I don't know what I'd do if I lived in Ocasio-Cortez's district up in New York. Oh, I thank you, God, for her. She's just great for new humor quips or whatever. But no, give thanks that God is in control of all of that. Now, we're to work within the system. We're not just keeping our rights. Bible calls us to be instruments of change. James 4:17 says, if any man knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. Do good. Well, I don't vote. Why? Well, because, you know, my vote doesn't matter anyway. If everybody thinks that way, it's going to keep on. We have a privilege in this country of casting a vote. Sometimes you got to go in and hold your nose when you cast it. But cast it anyway. The government can't do everything, but it can do something, and it can certainly mess you up worse if the wrong people get in. Take the time, go in, and do that which is good. help in other ways too. Be a poll judge at times. Get involved. Be active doing good in the political sphere. Use the system wisely. Know what your laws are. Know what your rights are. Know what you can do or can't. In Acts chapter 16, they threw Paul in jail after he cast out a demon from a slave girl. They threw him in jail unjustly. God used it and saved the jailer and all his family when he released him from jail. But they put him back in, the jailer took him back, put him in his chains. And the next day, they found out that Paul was a Roman. And they're going, oh my gosh, what do we do now? And they wanted him just to leave quietly. Paul didn't do that. Paul said, no, I'm a Roman. You guys messed up. You've got to come and you've got to escort me out. You've got to make it right. He knew how to use the system to spread his message. We need to know the laws. We need to know what we can do. We need to know what we can't do. We need to know how to use it. We need to know what our freedoms have as a framework so that we can be effective in keeping the freedom here in the United States. Read books on our laws and our political system and what the courts can do and what the how the legislature. I'm so tired of people talking about constitutional issues who have never read, you know, never read the why. It's like the Second Amendment wasn't made to protect hunters. You know that?
Oh, that's not a good hunting gun.
Well, no. When the Constitution was written, they weren't going to shoot moose. Know why you have the freedoms you have and use them wisely. Paul did in Rome. He did it there and he did it at the end in the book of Acts. He got a whole army to take him to Rome to protect him from the Jews who had taken a vow not to eat until they killed him. Because he knew what his rights were as a Roman. Use the power that God puts in your hands. You know, I'm not a person who seeks political power, but you've got three people in Scripture, two of them who in the Old Testament who are the only ones who the Bible never says anything bad about, Daniel and Joseph. You know, Daniel and Joseph, neither of them sought political power. Both of them, one was a slave, one was a prisoner of war. God put them into power, and they used it and became second in their nations. Joseph saved hundreds of thousands from starvation. Daniel protected his nation throughout and protected the king. I don't know if God's calling you to political power. God may be calling one of you to enter politics. What you need to do, though, is if he does, don't say, well, I've got to compromise to get elected. You know, if God wants you elected like Daniel and like Joseph, God's going to put you there. You remain strong. You use the power that God gave you. But now I want to talk about the last part here, and that's that we're part of another nation. We're all here, Americans, or part of this world, but we're also, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Every one of you is an ambassador of the kingdom of God, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. So what does that mean? That means that you and I are to realize that the world's laws cannot change a person's heart. Does that mean we shouldn't have good laws? No, of course you should, because what laws will do is change people's actions. It's really interesting. I don't know how many of you have used your Google GPS recently on your phones to travel a long distance. When we went to visit my sons in Florida and in Mississippi, I found out there's a nice new feature on my Google as I got it going. It tells you where speed traps are. Any of you have seen that? Y'all be driving along and it'll say, speed trap ahead. And so you check your speedometer and make sure you're going the right. And then there's the cop, you know, and he's looking at you and you can wave at him and whatever. And then Google tells you, because what this is, it's not like they have a radar or anything. People report these through the maps. And so when you finish seeing one, a little thing comes up on your phone and says, is he still there? And so you click yes if he's there. You click no if he's not. You know? And so, I'm usually navigating, and Angie's driving, so I it says that don't tap if it's dangerous, you know. But if I had the phone, yeah, I've got it in my hand because Angie's driving, so I'll see, oh, there's the cop, you know. And is he still there? Click. Yeah, he's still there. And so those laws are there to change your actions. You were going 80, and your Google says, speed trap ahead. And you lay off a little bit, and you're 75 or 70 or whatever the speed limit is, you know, and then you pass by and you say, hi, bear, and you click the button, say, yeah, he's still there, and you keep going. But you know what? It doesn't change your heart. If that speed trap wasn't there, you'd still go 80 or 90 or 95. So laws change your outward action. That's why they're good in a civilization. We need to understand that good laws will keep a civilization safer, just like those speed traps keep our roads safer, but they ain't changing a certain person's heart. We are calling for heart changes. The kingdom of God will change hearts. We can go and vote and pass the right laws. I want pro-life laws. I want laws that help us to proclaim our Christian freedom. I want those laws, but I need to understand that those laws aren't going to change a single person in the heart. So we can't. This is why any system that says the government is going to make everything all right is going to fail, because the government governs sinners. And we as ambassadors are trying to call them to a new kingdom where your heart is changed. We'd have a prophetic voice like Elijah, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, like Daniel. A voice that comes out and says to King Ahab, you can't do this. The rain's going to stop. God will judge. We need to speak out against injustice. And I'm not talking about some of the social justice stuff. There's not any social justice. There's just justice, okay? You're either doing fair to a person or you're not. But we're to speak out against injustice, against anybody. Even people we don't agree with deserve justice. In the voice. So we're to be prophets. Ahab, you can't take Naboth's vineyard and come out unscathed. Jezebel, the dogs are going to eat you. We need to come out that way. But we're scared sometimes to speak, because just like Jeremiah, we might be thrown in the well with the mud. But we need to speak. We need to be John the Baptist, telling them, you brood of vipers, you got to change. And then we need to understand that the only answer around is not conservatism, it's not the free market, it's not socialism, it's not communism, it's not libertarianism. The only answer is changed hearts through Jesus Christ. You know what? The best thing we have is the gospel. Jesus Christ, who died to set men free from their sin, who died on that cross and rose again 3 days later to give eternal life to all who put their faith in him. That's the message that people need. They don't need a new system. They need a new heart, which will allow them to live in peace and joy under whatever system they're put in. And if they die, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Freedom is not free. Freedom cost Christ his life, and many other soldiers theirs, as they fought for lesser freedoms. Let's treasure it. Let's pray for it. And let's share the good news that will ensure that those who accept Christ will remain free no matter what happens outside. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do it today. He is the truth that will set you free if you put your faith in Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this